Some time ago, we considered together God and nothing. And to sum it up, it is amazing what God does do with nothing. He called the whole universe into being when there was nothing there. And to sit and think of that, it's really remarkable. Then we considered God and little things. When God does use things, He uses little things. And that might best be summarized in a chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school in New York. Shamgar had an ox goad. Rahab had a string. Gideon had a trumpet. David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. All were used for God. And tonight we want to consider God and little people. And as we shall see, it is amazing how God uses little people to accomplish His purpose. Shall we look first, please, at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. And what we shall be doing tonight is turning from scripture to scripture, see how God used little people. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Speaking of the Israelites. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all people. The fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The Lord did not set His love upon you because you were more than any other people. You were the fewest of all people. And what came from this people, the fewest of all people, the least of all people? Romans chapter 9, please. And the people that is still despised today. And yet it is amazing what God has done with them. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? Of whom are, as concerning the flesh, the Christ come? God blessed forever. And these few verses or words summarize in a way what this people, who were the least of all people, what they have contributed to humanity. It was through them that the Lord Jesus Christ came, greatest man that ever walked on earth. And through them, we have this Bible, the greatest book on all earth. I remember several years ago, I had a co-worker, a Jewish fellow, and he was very upset by the way the Jews were being treated, even in New York City. And one day he said to me, tell me, what do you think of the Jews? And I said, I think that they are the most remarkable people on the earth. From them came the greatest man that ever walked on earth. Jesus Christ. I'm talking to a Jew. And I said, from them also came the greatest book that was ever written. The Bible. Do you know he became fast friends after that? Very close to very confidential. The least of all people, but they gave us the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. God and little people. Judges chapter 7, please. We looked at this last Sunday. Judges chapter 7. Or better still, let's look at chapter 6. Verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was an oak that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee. Now notice what the angel of the Lord God himself said, Thou mighty man of valor. Now here's a man hiding from the Midianites, threshing wheat and working at the winepress, and the Lord says to him, You are a mighty man. Let's read on. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told ourselves, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And yet the Lord said, You are a man of valor. It's amazing how the Lord takes insignificant people and uses them to his glory. Chapter 7, please. Verse 1, Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and encamped beside the well of Pharaoh, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, By my own hand have I been saved. Too many people. The Lord said, I don't need all those people. Well, how many of them were there? We'll get that in the next verse. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of all the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. How many people were there altogether? 32,000. Lord, there's too many. The Lord said unto Gideon, The people are too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. It shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth up the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down his knees to him. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save. 32,000. And the Lord used 300. The Lord uses little people. He doesn't need a crowd to do his work. And you know, when I was much younger, I used to say to myself, all the assemblies that I've visited, they're small. Oh, there are a few that have 300 or 400. But they're not like these other edifices with all these people. And this was my comfort. The Lord doesn't need a whole lot of people. Yet he would have everybody saved. And it's amazing how he uses us. Do you know that in terms of missionary effort, the assemblies proportionately send out more people than all the other denominations? It's an amazing thing. Let's go to the next one now. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse First Samuel chapter 15. The Lord and small people. Verse 17, speaking about Saul. Samuel said, "When you were little in your own sight, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed thee king over Israel when you were little. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoiled sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal." And we know this famous verse. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice." And you read the rest of the chapter, and you find that God had put Saul away. He could use him no more. One act of disobedience. When he was small, God elevated him. But when he was elevated, God could no longer use him. He was too proud. 2 Samuel chapter, well, no, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him, reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peacefully?" And he said, "I am come peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature. I have refused it." Too big. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord God chosen this." And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are they here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keeps the sheep." He's in the mountains. He just keeps sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him. This is he." Little fellow taking care of sheep. And the bigger brothers, handsome and attractive. The Lord says, "No. The Lord and little men." 1 Chronicles 17 and 7. First Chronicles 17, verse 7. Now, therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people. And we find that again in Psalms and also in Second Chronicles, how God takes little people to do his work. 1 Kings, please, chapter 19. First Kings, chapter 19, verse 19. So he, that is Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he the 12th. Taking care of oxen. Not considered a very noble job. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said to him, Go back again. What have I done to thee? He returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people, and they did eat. He arose and went after Elijah. The Lord had told Elijah earlier in this chapter that he was going to raise up a man in his place. And he didn't look for some big man, some outstanding person, a little fellow there, taking care of the cows. I don't know how you react, but I find these things very interesting. Very interesting indeed. But he was at it. I'm glad you said it. Very difficult work. You will notice that with all of these whom the Lord said that they were working. God doesn't use lazy people. But people who are working. Oh, thank you, Mike. Thanks very much. Now, one that thrills me very much. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know this story well. Concerning Naaman the leper. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but, and that's the trouble with a lot of these leaders, up there, they think a lot of themselves. It occurs to me, I don't know if I should say it, but those fellows that were up there in conference, you know, big fellows, but they're all lepers, all sins. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, a little captive maid. A little slave girl. She waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. A little maid. What was her name? We don't know. What tribe did she belong? But God used her to heal Naaman of his lips. Little girl, unknown, not much thought. Book of Proverbs, please. Chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1. I hope you are enjoying these as much as I do. These are fascinating. No need to try to get up in the world. That question was asked Ironside one day. With all that you know, well, not Ironside, but Kelly, and Kelly was a brilliant man. When you read Kelly, he didn't read the King James Version. He read his own translation. Hebrew and Greek. One day, somebody said to Kelly, with all that you know, you could get someplace in the world. And Kelly replied, which world? Don't strive to get somewhere in this world. It's the world above. Now, Proverbs 25, please. Verse 1. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. These Proverbs were copied by the men of Judah. Aren't you glad they copied the Proverbs that they did? We wouldn't have them all. But the Lord doesn't say who they are. We don't know their names. We don't know their tribes. We don't know anything about them. But God used them to copy some of these Proverbs. Small men. Little men. And one that I like very much, Luke chapter 3. Small. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. This one moves me more than all the others, and I'll show you why. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, number one, great ruler, Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, number two, great ruler, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, number three, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Five world leaders. Big men. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. Two religious leaders. Now look. Five world leaders. Two religious leaders. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Didn't come to the big dwellings. Religious or otherwise. A man down there in the wilderness, as we read in Mark, clothed with camel skins, and eating just the things that were available in the wilderness, and God came to him. So, beloved, we don't have to aim to get up in the world. We need to just stay low. It's amazing what will happen. Time's almost up. Who wrote the book of the Romans? Who wrote the epistle to the Romans? Romans chapter 16. Wonderful epistle. We've learned much from it. I don't know what the situation is today, But when I was at college level, the law students had to go through the Epistle to the Romans and analyze it because it was so rational. Now, who wrote it? Romans chapter 16, verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Paul didn't write it. Who's Tertius? That's the only place in the whole Bible that you find his name. Unknown. I don't know if he was insignificant, but God sure didn't say anything more about him. I, Tertius, wrote the epistle. Paul dictated it, and I wrote it. Aren't you glad that Tertius wrote it? It would appear from what we read in Galatians that Paul had a disturbance of his eye, of his eyes, I should say. And therefore, he was not able to write very well. He speaks in Galatians of the large letters that he wrote. He had a visual problem. And Tertius was called to do the dictation, or to write the dictation. I like that. Just be small. Don't strive to get up in the world. No place up there anyway. Just must be humble before the Lord. And the best example of all, Philippians chapter 3. No, chapter 2, sorry. And you know exactly what I'm going to do. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 5, most of us know this from memory. We read in 2 Corinthians, he was rich. For our sakes, he became poor. It would appear that when God is going to accomplish something, he uses small people. He doesn't use those people that are way up there. He uses little ones. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God. When you go home, look up that word form. Whatever God was, he was. That's what it is. That's what it means. He did not think it robbery or thing to be grabbed up to be equal with God. You have so many false gods. There's a fellow up there in New York, a Hebrew fellow, and he was the Messiah. So many people wanting to be God. Christ didn't have to want to be, he was. Made himself of no reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of a human being, God, consenting to be made like me. That's coming real though. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even further and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Which was the most ignominious death that one could die. God. Death of the cross. How low could he get? There's no law. But I like verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. And given him. Now many of your Bibles say a name. That's not. Given him the name. The name. Which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee. Oh, I like that. Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And they're going to do it to the glory of God. They're not just going to say it. They're going to do it the way God wants it. And when I read these verses, I think of a few people. I think of Professor Melander. He was the first one that exposed me to the theory of evolution. And I tell you, he had it worked out beautifully. He had that tree, and where these different animals were, and where these people were. And at the top of the tree was the blonde with the blue eyes. And he was a blonde with blue eyes. And his daughter was a blonde with blue eyes. That professor is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know something? I don't know where I'm going to be, but I sure would like to see that. And I think of another one. He was a surgeon. Very brilliant fellow. Good surgeon. And I think I've told you this before. One Sunday morning, I stopped in the hospital to check on a patient and was rushing to the worship meeting, and I met him. And he felt that thought. And he thought, guys, it's all chemistry. And when the chemistry stops, that's the end. He's going to bow to my Lord. I don't know if it's pride or selfishness, but I sure want to see him on his knees. Every knee is going to bow. The Lord went so low. No one could go any lower. A couple of pieces of poetry. I like poetry. If you would go up, go down. If you would go high, go low. And go as low as ever you will, Christ Jesus has gone lower still. Don't worry about getting up in the world. The lower you go, God will put you where he wants. And I tell you this from personal experience. It works. If we stay lowly before the Lord, it's amazing what he'll do for us. I have told you this before. I repeat it again. I'd like to encourage the young folks. When I was in medical school the first year, do you know why doctors drink and gamble so much? That's part of their teaching and training in medical school. And every weekend, especially Saturday night, the boys would get together in what they call the pool and gamble and drink. And Arthur Garnes was never there. And there was one fellow there, he was a previous football player, big, fatty fellow. And in my second or third year, he said to me, Arthur, you know, I hated you so much I could have killed you. But you're all right. Don't join these fellows. Just stay low before the Lord. It's amazing what he will do. The day of graduation, he was a good distance away and his mother was there. And he waved to me, just stay there. Mother, I want you to meet Arthur Arms. And if you stay low before the Lord, it's amazing the respect that these other folks give. That your classmates will give. I think one other thing, in the second year, I had a roommate from Buffalo, nice fellow, very pleasant fellow, a beautiful, pleasant smile, nice white teeth. And every night before I was ready to retire, I'd get on my knees and pray. You know, after a few weeks, he was on his knees praying too. And he was well off. His people were well off. They sent to him, William, what do you want for Christmas? What do you think William wanted? A Bible. And if you stay low, and I'm not saying this boastingly, and live before the Lord, he will use us. We'll be very effective. It is better to be small and shine than to be great and cast a shadow. Many persons who were big in their littleness, King Saul, have become little in their bigness. Let us stay small Let us just wait before the Lord and serve Him, and He'll do the rest. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we bow in Thy presence and give Thee much thanks for Thy word, for the lesson of this evening, that we should walk humbly before Thee, and Thou will raise us up in due time. We think of the time when we will be with Thee in heaven, with the Lord. What a glorious time that will be. Grant Thy blessing upon us as we meditate on Thy word. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing, preserve us during the night. As we give Thee thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, stay small.